You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to give us sight that we otherwise would not have. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1955, two researchers in psychology, they came up with this idea, this sort of frame for ourselves, for what we are aware of, and they called it the Johari window. The Johari window is this square that is split into four other squares, so you kind of draw a cross in the middle, and you come up with four other squares. And in these squares, you have different levels of awareness. In the first square, you have things that you are aware of and that other people are aware of. Things that you know and other people know. So, you know, what you're wearing today. Maybe what you find funny. Those kind of things. Because they can tell, oh, okay, you laughed at that thing. You must find that funny. And so there's kind of that awareness. The awareness that we know stuff and that the people around us know. There's another kind of awareness where it is the stuff that you know and the stuff that the people around you do not know. And so this is a lot of times sort of your internal monologue, you know, how you really maybe feel about things. You know, the things that you're thinking during the sermon. yeah, those kind of things that kind of pop up. And nobody else necessarily knows what you're thinking about, but they're there, right? And so that's another level of awareness. Like, you are the only person that is aware of those things. There's another spot where you have some blind spots. You know, like, you don't know what the back of your head looks like. And yet, the people behind you, they know what the back of your head looks like. And so there's that level of awareness of you don't know, but they do know. And then there's another level of awareness, which is the zero level of awareness, those things that you don't know and the people around you don't know. You know, those kind of things, like if you've been infected with a certain kind of bug and you're not showing symptoms yet. Well, nobody knows that, but it's a reality. It's right there in your life. And so the Johari window tends to be kind of a helpful thing to help us understand, okay, what is it that we know? What can we see? What can other people see? What can only God see? And the Johari window is kind of an interesting way to look at the gospel lesson that I just read. We start off in that gospel reading with Jesus walking by, and he sees this man who's been born blind. And his disciples' immediate first question is, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? And so what they're doing is they're saying, hey, I have an awareness here. I'm aware that this man was born blind. And so they must know something about his backstory. And yet they don't know what caused it. And so there's a lack of awareness there, and that's why they're coming to Jesus with it. They're like, hey, we've got a bet going on, Jesus. You know, Thomas and Andrew, they say that he sinned, and Thaddeus, he's taken the low-end bet, and he thinks that it's his parents. Jesus says, you're both wrong. And there's another level of awareness there. Jesus saying, you guys are dumb. You know, it's none of those things. In fact, the reason that this guy was born blind, according to Jesus, is so that the glory of God can be manifest in his life when he is healed. And there's that kind of notion here that, oh, there are things that Jesus knows that are beyond our awareness. There are things that Jesus understands that we can't necessarily understand unless he tells us. And so you have, you know, all of those things come up when you're applying the Johari window to this situation. Now, Jesus heals the guy. He heals him in this very interesting way that echoes Genesis 1. That what he does is he takes some mud, he puts it on the guy's eyes, just like God created Adam out of the earth, and it says, go and wash the stuff off, and you will see. And so he goes off, he washes it off of his eyes, and then that's when things get really interesting. Because the man doesn't necessarily know what Jesus looks like. He knows what Jesus feels like. He knows that Jesus feels like mud being put on his eyes. He knows even what Jesus sounds like, but he doesn't know what he looks like. And that becomes important for the rest of the story, because sure enough, it's the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath, and so everybody gets in a tizzy about, well, who did this thing? Because surely this is a great miracle. And yet, there's a lack of awareness. There's a lack of awareness around who did it because, well, if this was somebody who was on Team Yahweh, if this was somebody who was a prophet of God, well, then why on earth would he be healing on the Sabbath? But then, on the other hand, if this guy was a sinner, if this guy was a charlatan, if this guy was somebody else, then this shouldn't have worked. And so, there's something there too. And there's a lack of awareness. And so they start grilling the guy. They start asking him, well, who was it? And he rightfully says, I don't know. So then they bring in his parents, and then they say, well, you guys, is this actually your son? Because they don't necessarily know that there's a lack of awareness there as well. And his parents say, yeah, that's our son. How did he go from being blind to not blind? We don't know. On top of that, we don't want to answer that question. This is sort of early on Fifth Amendment. They're like, if we say it was Jesus, we're going to be tossed out of the synagogue. We're going to not have a social life anymore. Probably not be able to do business in this town anymore. This is going to be really bad for us. So, I ask him. And so they ask him again. And this time he's getting a little bit tired of it. And he's like, I told you this once. Why do you guys want to know? Do you want to become his disciples? Ooh. And so Jesus hears about all of this. And he gets kicked out of the synagogue himself, so he's going to have some rough times. And Jesus comes up and he talks to the man. And he gets into this conversation, and the Pharisees overhear the conversation. And a part of the conversation is about being spiritually blind. And the Pharisees show that they have another lack of awareness. They have this lack of awareness that they say, well, are we blind also? And the answer is yes, but they don't know it. Because they can't see what's right in front of them. They can't see that Jesus is right there healing this man. They want to look at anything and everything else rather than to see the awareness that means that they have a blind spot in their lives. And Jesus confronts them. He says, it's because you see. It's because you are unwilling to acknowledge the blind spot in your life that this is actually condemnatory for you, that this is something that is bad for you. If you said that you were blind, then we'd forgive you. We'd say, well, you're just ignorant. You have a blind spot. And let us lead you into the light. But it's because you say that you can see that this is a problem. And that story then gets played out in our lives. That story that we walk into our lives and we start off just like the disciples do a lot of times with, well, questions that maybe we should know better than ask. But there's still questions on our minds. There's still doubts that we maybe have. You know, who sinned, this man or his parents? And God gets to come back to us and he says, wrong question. And we're able to hear that if it's not in our blind spot. But we have pretty big blind spots. You know, there's all sorts of vehicles in the world that we drive. I remember that there was a new vehicle that I was driving. It was a rental van, and I was driving it around. I was used to my kind of little car that had great mirrors, and I was used to you know, kind of being able to know and see everything that was around me. And I remember particularly in this moment, I turned on my blinker and I started to move over, thinking that there was nobody there, and I heard beep, beep, beep. And I looked back, and there was this older couple that was, you know, going up like this. They weren't giving me the finger, but they were doing a whole lot with their hands. And I felt so bad because my blind spot had been pointed out. Well, sometimes our blind spots get pointed out. One place where they get pointed out every Sunday is where we confess together, where we confess not only those sins that we are aware of, but those sins that we're even not aware of, that we're confessing stuff that we go, Lord, this is in my blind spot. Lord, I made a decision this week, and I'm not sure if it's sinful or not. And if it is, I need you to point that out, and I need to be forgiven of it. There are things that we just can't know. And that's why it's helpful to have people around us who can meet us in our blindness. That's what that Isaiah reading is all about. That Isaiah reading where he's talking about his own country, his own people, the people of Israel. And he's saying, I'm going to cry out like a woman in labor. Now, that is a very, very clear picture of what God sounds like in this moment. This is not God gently taking you by the hand and saying, well, no, let's go over here. No, this is God saying, stop! Look in your blind spot. And then he says, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to take you by the hands, and I'm going to, because I realize that you're blind, that you need help. And God's help comes in all sorts of ways. One of the ways that God comes into our lives and helps us out in the midst of our blindness is, well, just kind of look around. And look at the other people here. We talked about the Johari window, right? We talked about the fact that there are some things that you can't see, but you know what? Your brother or your sister in Christ, they can see it. They've probably been seeing it for a while. They maybe haven't brought it up because they're nice. But they can see it. And sometimes it's worthwhile to give your brother or your sister in Christ permission to call out your blind spot, to say, hey, I know that there are things about me that are all sorts of messed up because I'm a sinner and I need some help. And God has baptized those people to put them in your life, to be your brother and your sister in Christ, that they can say, hey, I know you probably can't see this, but guess what? There's this. And that's a great gift for us. There's another great gift that God gives us in the form of his word, where we can think all sorts of things about our lives that might be kind of wonky if we're just left to ourselves. But when we look at God's words, we see into our blind spots. That God says, hey, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give you the thing that you need in order to be able to see what I see. And sometimes that's a magical moment in our lives, because that moment is a moment where God is revealing to us what we can't see and maybe even what other people can't see, but the Holy Spirit reveals those things to us as we read his word. That's a great gift, to be able to see in our blind spot like that. But the even greater gift is that in those moments of our blindness, whether they're moments of blindness that come from, well, I don't know what to do here, and nobody can know, but this could be a sin, or whether that's the moment of, I thought that I knew what to do, but my brother and my sister in Christ points out that, well, I'm being kind of a moron, and I need to repent. Or even the blindness of this moment, which is sort of a self-blinding of, I know that this is wrong. Everybody around me knows that this is wrong, and I'm still going to do it. That in all of those blindnesses, Christ meets us. And he recreates us in forgiveness. He takes that mud, and he takes the earth and he spits in it and he rubs it on our eyes. And he recreates our vision, giving us new sight by the power of his forgiveness, paid for by his blood on the cross. And so as you go out this week, know that you have all sorts of blind spots. And watch your mirrors. Invite other people to help you look. Read God's word to see where those things might exist. And when you see them, bring those things to them, to God, and ask to be forgiven. And have your sight recreated by the one who gave you sight. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.